Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages to you for 19 years. And we praise the Lord for all that time. We praise the Lord for this radio station, for all the prayers, the support, the provision. We thank the Lord for you, the listener. And if this is your first time today, we invite you to come back each and every Sunday. Make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And if you've been with us for many years, we thank you for that. We thank you for your faithfulness. And we pray the Lord has blessed you as you tune in to hear these good messages. Today we're going to be talking about dealing with anxiety, part two. And this is the second in a series of how to deal with depression and despair, anxiety, disappointment in your life. It's a big, big subject now with everything that's going on in the world. And so stay tuned for this. You're going to want to hear every word of this message. We'll take this up here in just a minute, right after our prayer time. And if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Proverbs 12, verse 25. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host. Before we get into the message today, just want to give you an announcement. We're going to have a fundraising time of fellowship, a time of rejoicing down at the Bullseye Event Center there in Norton on the 23rd of June. That's a Sunday evening, 6 p.m. The 23rd of June, we're going to have a time of fundraising to raise money for our school project. Over there in Kenya, we want to build a primary school for a couple of hundred students, and this will be a school not only for our children at the children's home, but it will also be for the children of Makunda Village. So there will be Muslim children there, children from other faiths, and so we want to get this project done. We've got an acre of land purchased, sits right next to the Living Water Children's Home. We want to purchase another acre that is adjoining to that one, and then we'll have 2 acres plus enough for a football field, enough to build a school. And so this is the desire of the Lord, and we hope it's your desire as well. So come out and support us Sunday evening, the 23rd of June. Come out and support us. You'll get a good meal, fellowship, time to worship, and then we can commit to raising some funds for that school project. Otherwise, things are going well in Kenya. The rains are starting to subside, no more flooding, and it's starting to dry down, go into the dry season of July, August. And so we've got a good maize crop, looks like. We're going to be harvesting the maize here in another week or two. So keep the workers and all the children in your prayers as we go forward with our projects there in Kenya. Well, dealing with depression and anxiety, that's a big, big subject today. So many people in America are suffering with mental problems, with depression and despair. Many people are taking drugs to deal with these problems, which may in some cases be a helpful thing, but in other cases it just causes the problem to go deeper and deeper into them, because the drugs don't really deal with the spiritual aspects of the problem. They don't really deal with the spiritual aspects that people are separated from God, and they have demonic oppression and in some cases demonic possession. And so this is a subject that needs to be talked about and needs to be dealt with from what God's perspective and the perspective of His Word can give us insight and give us revelation, give us wisdom on how to deal with depression and anxiety. And I understand it's real. I know people are dealing with this, and it's a crippling illness, crippling disease. It's just as crippling in a way as cancer and arthritis and all of the other more physical type ailments, which most of them also have a spiritual component to them. But when you start talking about issues of the mind, it affects everything you do. People can become so isolated and so broken down. They don't want to function. They don't want to go out into society. And so if that is you today, or you know somebody in that situation, you want to pay attention. Maybe get your pencil and a piece of paper, because we're going to talk about some practical steps to deal with this issue if it's in your life or in the life of someone else. And you can always pray without ceasing. It goes without saying that you have to pray if this is an issue in your life. Anxiety and depression is an issue in your life. You have to pray if it's somebody in your family, somebody that you're close to. You have to pray for them, be an intercessor for them, and pray without ceasing. Just continue to pray, continue to lift them up in prayer, and to break the bonds, the chains of darkness, the chains of destruction off of them. And as you do that, God will hear your prayer, and God will heal that person. Well, in Proverbs 12:25, we have a very interesting proverb here. King Solomon wrote these proverbs. It says, anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. Well, there's your definition for depression and despair right there. Anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down, or it becomes a heavy weight, a heavy burden, but a good word makes it glad. Well, beloved, we all have anxiety. If you watch the news any at all, you know there are events in the world that will give you anxiety. And I encourage you to not dwell too much on the news. I know it's hard to do because God wants us to be informed. He wants us to know what's going on in politics. I don't believe in the idea some Christians propose or some Christians promote that we shouldn't get involved in politics. I don't believe that. Politics is just the policies of the men and women of a particular country, and I believe it's very, very important for Christians to be involved, even to run for office. We need good, godly men and women in office, and it's important for Christians to get involved. The most important thing you can do, if you have no desire to get involved directly in politics, the most important thing you can do is just go to the poll and vote for good candidates. And so this is important because it has to do with marriage, it has to do with abortion, it has to do with the moral foundation and the moral fabric of this country. And so we can't just stick our head in the sand and ignore it and say, well, God will take care of it. No, He takes care of it through the actions of men and women who love Him. And so you have to get involved at the very least. Go to the poll and vote for good candidates who believe in God's word, who believe in God's moral code, His code of behavior, His code of justice. When you get involved and you vote, you can help others, you can join with others to make a difference in your country. Well, let's look at that again. A good word makes the heart of a man glad. Well, where is a good word going to come from? You can go talk to your neighbor. Maybe he'll give you a good word, but he might also be upset about a tree that's hanging over the fence, or your dog that barks at night, or whatever. You might not always get a good word from your neighbor. You can go talk to your spouse, and we hope you have a spouse that will give you a good encouraging word. A lot of people do, but a lot of people don't. There's also a lot of people that are single or divorced, and they don't have a spouse to encourage them, to raise them up, to help them get through the difficulties of life. And so good word has to come from God's word. That's what I see here. It has to come from God's word. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the bones and the marrow, the soul and the spirit, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so a good word is sharp, it cuts, It cuts out the slag. It cuts out the dross. It cuts out the things that we don't need. It cuts between the soul and the spirit. It cuts out that which is dragging us down and bringing us down. And a good word is an encouraging word, and it comes from God's word, the Holy Bible. The word is Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a time to read your Bible, I suggest you do that starting today. Starting this very day, get a time every day to read the Bible. And if you don't have time, maybe you have to get up and rush off to work, get up just a little bit earlier, or maybe at night, you can read God's Word for 10 or 15 minutes every night. But I exhort you and I encourage you to read God's Word every single day. You will start to get encouraged. You will start to see your problems as God sees them. You will start to see your life and understand your life as God sees it. And so this is very important. You start to get God's perspective on your life, on your death, on your problem, and you'll start to understand that your problem is not too big for God to handle. It is not impossible for God to handle, and He will give you wisdom and revelation and encouragement to start taking maybe baby steps at first. Start taking baby steps, and then when you take those baby steps, then you can take some bigger steps. You can start to walk, and then you'll start to run. And that is God's plan for your life. That is His will for your life, to destroy the works of the devil in your life and get you started, get you going, get you up off the sofa, get you out of the rocking chair, get you out of your house or out of your bed if you're very, very depressed, get you up and take baby steps one day at a time, sweet Jesus, one day at a time, baby steps in your walk with the Lord, and to get you in a place where that depression and that despair is not dragging you down and incapacitating you and paralyzing you and keeping you from doing the will of God in your life. Well, I'm going to say that it all surrounds putting your trust in Jesus. You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. I know the medical profession, and I have great respect for the medical profession here in the United States. The healing protocols that they have through medicine, through surgeries, and through all kinds of different protocols. In a way, it's very amazing how people here in the U.S. can live so many more years beyond what people in other countries live. In Kenya, the average age of death for women is about 66 years, and here in America, it's about 78 or so, something like that. And so we have a great medical establishment here. But God wants you to put your trust in Jesus and not rely just on medicine, not rely just on anti-anxiety pills or antidepressants. Put your trust in Jesus, and He will give you that joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He will give you that joy that you don't have. He will give you that peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you," in John chapter 14, verse 27. "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And so it's not God's will that your heart be troubled. It's not God's will that you are fearful. You need to spend time in prayer. You need to spend time with Jesus. Listen to worship music. Listen to people preach. Listen to teaching. All of that starts to build confidence, starts to build your faith, starts to build an understanding of who you are, how much God loves you, how much He cares about you, and His plan for your life. And that plan for your life is not the plan of the devil. It's a plan to destroy the works of the devil in your life. Well, I'm going to go back to Isaiah 53, because this is a picture of Jesus on the cross. And beloved, if you are a believer, you've probably heard this scripture, these scriptures, many, many times. If you're not a believer, or you're not saved, you're not born again, You may not be familiar with this, but this is a prophetic picture of Jesus that Isaiah spoke 800 years before Jesus walked this earth. And it's a prophetic picture of Jesus' death on the cross, how God led him to the cross, how God put him on the cross. It was all part of the perfect plan of God. Yes, men crucified him, but this was all part of God's perfect plan, and he did it so that we can be healed. God initiated this plan. Jesus, in obedience, carried it out so we can be healed, so that we can know the righteousness of God, so that we can know the healing of God, and we don't have to be crippled by all of these plans of the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So this is Isaiah speaking about Jesus Christ as he is going to the cross. Isaiah 53:4. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, or for our sin. He was crushed for our iniquity, crushed for our sin, and the chastisement for our peace fell upon him. And by his scourging, or by his stripes that he took, we are healed. The chastisement for our peace fell upon him. God's will is that we have peace. We have peace in our mind, peace in our heart, peace in our family, peace in our living situation. This is the will of God for you, beloved. This is the will of God for me. And it says the chastisement, the scourging, the whipping, and Jesus was tied to the whipping post. If you don't know the story, look up The Passion of the Christ on Netflix or some movie channel, The Passion of the Christ. Jesus was tied to the whipping post, and he was scourged. He was given the 39 lashes by the Roman soldiers. Near death. He was bleeding. His back and sides were ripped out from these horrendous beating that he was taking. The chastisement, the scourging, the stripes that he took was for our peace. It wasn't for any other reason that Jesus went to the cross, or that he took the stripes and took the scourging. It was for our peace. It was for our salvation. It was so that our sins could be washed away, our sins can be forgiven, our sins can be remitted. And so Jesus took the chastisement for our peace. It fell upon him, and by his scourging, by the stripes that he took, we are healed. Well, many times when people pray, when Christians pray, they pray that very sentence, and by the stripes you took, Jesus, we thank you for your healing. And I believe that's good to pray that. I have no problem with that. I believe it's good because it's truth. It says it right here. You just have to believe it. If you are in a state of despair, or if you are in a state of depression and you can't move, you're paralyzed, you're crippled, you can't get out of your bed or even out of your house, start praying that the stripes that Jesus took heals you, the scourging that Jesus took heals your mind, it heals your body, and then make some small step in the direction that you want to go. And beloved, it's okay to claim it. It speaks it right here in Isaiah 53:4. It's in black and white in your Bible. You can get out your Bible and read it for yourself. By the stripes Jesus took, you are healed. And so you have to believe it. Pray believing that you have already received. Pray believing that you have already received. Start thanking God for your healing. Start thanking him for being able to get you up and get you going. Start thanking him when the devil starts hammering you with thoughts in your mind that you're a nothing, that you're a nobody, that God doesn't love you, nobody loves you, you have no friends, you have no purpose, you don't know why you were born. Start praying, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the healing. Thank you, Lord, for the stripes that you took. The chastisement for my peace was taken by you, and I thank you, Lord, for doing that. Well, Isaiah 53, verse 10, similar verse. But the Lord was pleased, this is the Lord God, but the Lord God, Yahweh, was pleased to crush him, crush Jesus, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, or Jesus will see his seed. That's us, that's you, that's me. He will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord Yahweh, the good pleasure of God, will prosper in Jesus' hand. And so Jesus was sent by God here on this earth to fulfill the perfect plan of God, that there would be redemption for all of mankind, redemption for the Old Testament saints, redemption for the New Testament saints, redemption for those who are living in 2024. Listening to this broadcast, you have redemption, you have forgiveness of sins, and the grief that you have, Jesus Christ paid the price for your grief. He already paid the price. His blood sacrifice covers your sin, it covers your iniquity, and it paid for your grief. As a result, verse 11, as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see the light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, Jesus, my servant Jesus, will justify the many, or he will judge them righteous, and he will bear their iniquities. So this brings up another question about depression and despair. If you have repetitive sin in your life, maybe you're sitting up every night and watching spook movies, or maybe you're sitting up every night and looking at pornography on your computer. Maybe you don't have any desire to work or to get a job. You have iniquity in your life. You need to deal with the iniquity in your life, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, that your sin can be covered by the blood of Jesus, that you can come into righteousness and live a life that is righteous, live a life of right standing. You don't need to hide. It is by the righteousness of God that you can stand before God and stand before Jesus and claim his righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we could know the righteousness of God. And so the sinless one went to the cross. You need to deal with your sin. If that is the source of a lot of your anxiety, if that is the source of a lot of your depression, deal with your sin, confess your sin, repent of your sin. Repent means to confess, and then turn from your wicked ways. Turn from your wicked ways, that you no longer have that sin in your life, that you can walk in freedom, that the chains of sin can be broken off your life. And as you think about sin, you think about the destructive nature of sin, how it will take you down, how it will drag you down, and I guarantee you sin will take you farther down than you ever thought it could. It will cost you more than you thought it ever would cost, and it will hold you longer than you ever thought it would hold you. And so you need to deal with the sin in your life, confess it, repent of it, turn from your wicked ways, and go in your freedom one step at a time, one day at a time, and the Lord will set you free from your iniquity. Okay, steps that you can take, practical steps that you can take to deal with your situation. Number one, speak healing over yourself. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Speak life over yourself, life over your situation. Speak against the plan of the enemy. Speak against the devil's work in your life, and speak life over yourself. Speak the plan of God over yourself. I speak against depression. I speak against despair. I speak against paralysis and crippling of the mind. I pray that God will heal my mind. I believe he's going to heal it, and I speak life into my mind. I speak lovely thoughts. I speak pure thoughts. I speak fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. I speak the fruits of the Spirit over my life, that my life will be a manifestation of the love of God, that my life will be a manifestation of the goodness of God. So speak that over yourself. If you find yourself speaking all kinds of negative things and destructive things over yourself, repent of those destructive words that you speak over yourself. Ask the Lord to give you strength that you can speak life and blessings and do those things that you know please God in your life. And God will reward you. He will bless you. He will strengthen you as you go forward day by day. And then take some small step in your life, in the direction you want to go. Maybe you don't have a job. Go and apply for a job. Just take a small step. Go and apply for a job. Maybe you need to get in shape. Maybe you need to go get a membership in an exercise gym and show up every day and exercise and get your body back in shape so you can do something positive. Maybe you need to go to church. Maybe you haven't been in church for many years. Put your pride down and go into a church and join with the people in prayer, join with the people in encouraging each other, maybe go on a mission trip. That would be a big step, but just get into a church. Get started joining with the body of Christ. Maybe you need to get into a Bible study. As you get into a church, you will find yourself with opportunities to study the Bible with other like-minded believers. Set aside time each and every day to study God's Word, to be with the Lord, to pray the quiet time in a secret place, just you and God. Turn off your phone, turn off the television, turn off your computer. Get with God in your quiet time. Spend time with Him, and you will start to see blessings from that. Maybe you can take communion every day. Well, you can take communion every day. You don't need to be in the church to take communion. You don't need an elder to serve you. You get with the Lord and remember Him in communion. If you do that every day, you'll start to see things happen in your life, and it will come from the blessings of God in your life. Now, maybe you can go volunteer if you're already retired, don't have a job, don't need money. Go volunteer at a hospital. Go volunteer in a ministry. And as you volunteer, you'll start to get in contact with people. You'll start to interact with people, and you will see the blessings start to come back into your life. We'll look at this subject again next week, part three. We're going to look at this subject, and we thank the Lord for all the revelation in His Word that helps us deal with anxiety and depression. You can overcome. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We'd like to have your support. We want to hear from you today. Sit down today. Write us out a check. Let us know you're listening so we can keep this broadcast on the air. Include prayer requests that we can pray for you in your situation. Email me, pureprayer@hotmail.com, and the contact information if you want to mail us. The contact information for contacting this ministry will be coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.